SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live here on Football Full Circle, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. And week number two of the National Football League regular season, Joe, is now in the books. Coming to a close last night with a special Monday night doubleheader. And two sides, Joe, looked incredibly impressive. Let's start with the Super Bowl favorites. Up in Western New York, the Buffalo Bills, Joe, through 2 weeks, have lived up to every bit of offseason optimism and hype, and they thrash the Tennessee Titans yesterday in Buffalo's home debut, 41-7, easily covering, Joe Lisi, as a 10-point favorite.
An absolute beatdown in Buffalo and Orchard Park last night. The ability for Josh Allen to pick apart that Tennessee secondary, and more importantly, the front seven, to contain Derrick Henry, force turnovers over Ryan Tannehill, and to score and be opportunistic. If that's the way they're going to play throughout the regular season, hey, guess what? Sean McDermott maybe just might be coach of the year, because they are hitting on all cylinders against the potential Super Bowl champs from last year. Knock them off in dominating fashion, and maybe one of the better teams, at least on paper, in the AFC. Let me tell you, Josh Allen and Buffalo, the team to beat in the division. And let's not forget this. They're going to get a huge test this Saturday and Sunday, against the Miami Dolphins.
That's very true, Joe. And like most odds have this year on Buffalo, they have improved in Buffalo's favor for that matchup in South Beach this upcoming Sunday against the Dolphins. Lisi, it was 4.5 in favor of Buffalo. I think we can expect the Bills to probably be favored in every game this regular season, if not every game, 15 of 17 at the bare minimum. So they were already a 4.5-point favorite entering last night. They are now a 5.5-point favorite, and that line ballooned, Lisi, even up to 6 in favor of Buffalo against the Dolphins in Miami after what the Finns pulled off this past Sunday in that dramatic comeback down by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter against the Ravens, and all that Tua Tagovailoa and all that Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle were able to accomplish this past Sunday. That should go to show you what the market and what the league thinks of the Buffalo Bills right now. Lisi, it hasn't just been wins. The Buffalo Bills aren't just 2-0, winning by an average margin of victory of 3 points per game. They have thoroughly dominated both the reigning Super Bowl champs in the Rams and last year's number one overall seed in the AFC in the Tennessee Titans. Now listen, Tennessee is a very different team from this year than they were, Lisi, last year. However, that being said, the Buffalo Bills, Joe, have outscored their opening two opponents 72-17. 72-17, Lisi, easily covering as a 2.5-point favorite and now a 10-point favorite last night against the Titans as well.
Yeah, they don't allow teams back in the ballgame. That is the biggest thing, right? We saw comebacks throughout the NFL this past weekend. Well, once they jumped up and put up a 41 spot, it was lights out in that matchup. Never allowed Tannehill and Malik Willis to get into the red zone after that fact and score points. That's the biggest thing about Buffalo right now. We know their offense can score, but the front seven is playing lights out, shutting down the opposing offense in terms of the rushing attack, forcing both teams, at least in through 2 weeks, into production. Predictable long third down situations that allows them to get a pass rush. That secondary has been able to pick off passes, and that's the recipe for success long term in terms of making a playoff run and getting to the championship game. So we'll see how it plays out. I think there's no argument from an offensive perspective. Miami does pose a challenge. The problem and the weakness is of Miami right now, the front seven, because the way Lamar Jackson tore them up in terms of on the ground, you would have to think that is the MO of Buffalo going into this matchup with a mobile quarterback in Josh Allen.
And that would be the way that we look at it right now, because as we mentioned, Lisey, every market has worked in favor of the Buffalo Bills, including for Josh Allen as the NFL MVP. Because last night, Lisey, he added already to Gaudy's stats through 2 weeks, 26 of 38, 317 through the air, four touchdown passes, going well over his passing yards prop of 258.5, and three of those four passing scores received by Stephon Diggs. A huge night for Diggs, 12 receptions, 148, and three touchdowns with a longest grab of 46 yards. So, Lisey, Josh Allen now the favorite to win the MVP at a plus 340 number. He entered the year as the favorite, sure, but his price has been cut in half. It was 7-1 before we got started in 2022. It is now down to plus 340.
Yeah, and think about this. You know, a lot was made about the Buffalo Bills' first seven or eight opponents. They are ripping through the competition right now. If they abuse Miami and, let's say, win this ballgame by double digits, what does that say about the strength of this team at the early part of the season, right? They were the front runners to win the Super Bowl. I mean, it can only get better in terms of the and shorter in terms of the odds if they dominate Miami and South Beach.
Yep, and we'll see how that looks exactly, because if they can pull off that win, if they can cover on the road against the Dolphins, Joe, you're right. Their odds to win a Super Bowl, the shortest number we've seen so far at plus 450, only going to get better. They're a minus 360 favorite to win the AFC East, and of course, this a divisional duel against the Dolphins this upcoming Sunday. Those odds are going to be minus 500. The Buffalo Bills have a lot at stake. It's a huge week number three matchup in Miami, but the Dolphins, a team to keep an eye on as well, Joe, in the AFC Championship market. Miami's number at the current moment continuously improving. The sixth best price now within the conference at 13-1. We'll look at the other game that happened on a Monday night in Philadelphia. The Birds impressive in their home debut, up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We continue going here on Football Full Circle, recapping the entirety of week number two of the NFL season. Now that the week has come to a close, after two games on a Monday night, Joe, we talked about the thoroughly dominant performance of the Buffalo Bills once again. But Lisi, let's take the other side of that coin quickly here before we flip it to Philadelphia and what the Eagles pulled off last night in its home opener against the Minnesota Vikings. The Tennessee Titans now, Joe, the number one overall seed from a season ago within the AFC, off to a winless start, 0-2. And you can see how the market has moved on Tennessee. They were booked as a 5.5-point home favorite opening Sunday of the year against the Giants. They lose that game late. They are then a 10-point underdog on the road against Buffalo, Joe, and they don't cover either of those two numbers, of course, losing both games outright. Now the Jacksonville Jaguars, Lisi, are the only team within the AFC South, the only team to record a win this season. The Jags sit atop the division at 1-1.
Yeah, it really is interesting when you look at these odds. I still can't believe that, obviously, FanDuel has Indianapolis at plus 130 to win the division after that offense couldn't score a point against Jacksonville. They have Jacksonville right now at plus 310 to win the division. I still buy in to Vrabel. Now, I am not a buyer of Ryan Tannehill. I had him in Miami, and obviously last night's performance was absolutely atrocious. The pick six really solidified his fate. But at the end of the day, when you have Derrick Henry and you could still run the football, you could work off a play action, Tannehill is still adequate enough to win this division and at least, at the very least, get to a wild card. So I still think that this team is still the best in the division. Their performance after the first 2 weeks, not good, but I still believe in Derrick Henry, I believe in the front seven, and I believe in Vrabel to at least challenge for this division title, and I take them right now at 2-1.
Last night was a career worst performance for Derrick Henry, because every other time in his NFL career, he has had at least 10 carries, Joe. His lowest yardage total was 57 yards. Last night, 13 carries for only 25 yards on the ground. It was not a great sight, and I think that echoes more of what Buffalo can do defensively than maybe anything against the King now. But that being said, we know what the Titans' offense needs to be. It is predicated on the run, and you build your play action from there. But, Joe, of course, the big offseason storyline for Tennessee offensively was A.J. Brown wanting a new contract. They could not agree on the money. He makes his way to Philadelphia in a trade on draft night. But as we all learned on the broadcast last night, five of the six leading receivers from last year's Titans team that was the number one overall seed, no longer members of this Tennessee organization. A very different team from that number one overall seed in the AFC a season ago. Lisey, I'm a little bit surprised to see the Jacksonville Jaguars, as long as they are, already a divisional win on top of being the only team with a victory this season. And the Jags win total hasn't updated. It was 6.5 before the year. The juice had the under. Or the under had the juice, rather. It's still 6.5 right now for Jacksonville after pulling off the upset in also dominant fashion, shutting out the Colts in Duval County this past Sunday. I'm a little bit higher on Jacksonville than I was earlier this year. Indianapolis, Joe, not looking great. 6.5-point home underdogs against Kansas City in week number 3. And, Lisey, as it pertains to the Titans, their win total before the year was 9.5. It's now 7.5. And they were favored to make the postseason at minus 110. They're now plus 142 to find the AFC playoffs. So the AFC South is a very, very interesting division, as we expected it to be, Joe, and maybe not the strongest of those divisions. So somebody will be able to take advantage of it. We just have to figure out who that team will be. All right, Joe, over to the NFC. The Eagles also dominant last night in its home opener against Minnesota at the Link, 24-7 the final in favor of Philadelphia, covering as a 2.5-point home favorite. A total that came down, Joe, to 49.5 stays under between the Vikes and the Birds. And it was the Jalen Hurts show, Lisey, over 300 passing yards, two rushing scores as well, tying Michael Vick for a franchise record in Eagles history as the only quarterbacks to throw for over 300 and rush for two scores as well. It was a maestro of a performance out of Jalen Hurts last night.
It was, and he diced up that secondary from Minnesota. And on the flip side, you had a quarterback in Kirk Cousins that absolutely sucked last night. Let's be honest. I mean, the primetime numbers were not good for Kirk Cousins, and it only got worse with those interceptions. What did he throw, three? Could have thrown six at one point in the second half. I mean, it was unbelievable in terms of how bad a performance it was from an offensive perspective for the Minnesota Vikings. They did not get the ball to, obviously, Dalvin Cook in the ground game, didn't utilize him in the short to intermediate passing game. Justin Jefferson was a non-factor. Just looked like the team was checked out. And at the end of the day, I've never seen a veteran quarterback stare down receivers the way Kirk Cousins did last night, in terms of just, he threw the ball directly to the Philadelphia Eagles. It was amazing. We have to see how this team regroups, but I will say, Jalen Hurts, love him or hate him in terms of his mechanics, the kid's a winner, baby. He proved that, obviously, at Oklahoma and Alabama. Proved it again last night. He's going to get better. And, you know, right now, I think it's Philadelphia and the New York Giants as the two best teams in the NFC East heading into week 3.
And that's what the odds are starting to say, Lisey, surprisingly so. The Giants and the Cowboys, who will play next Monday night against one another. New York currently a 2.5-point home favorite inside MetLife, tied for the second-best odds in the NFC East at plus 500. But the Eagles, Lisey, now a minus 200 favorite to win that division. The second-best odds of any team in any division in the NFC right now, setting up a favorable path to a postseason appearance and potentially a division championship. And Lisey, that's the case for me when it comes to evaluating Jalen Hurts. Year number 3 in the National Football League, and this was the year, much like Tua in Miami, that he has all the pieces he could ever hope for offensively. It was time to take advantage of them, and so far we have seen that. Dallas Goedert leading the way for the receivers yesterday, although a tight end, of course, for Philadelphia, over 80 yards. But Devontae Smith, after a goose egg week 1, comes back with 80 yards, and the connection between Hurts and A.J. Brown, very, very good so far. And then Jalen Hurts shows you what he can do with his legs. legs. 90 yards week number one, 57 last night on 11 carries, and two of them go for a touchdown. This Eagles team, Joe, this Eagles offense led by Jalen Hurts is incredibly, incredibly dynamic. The top rushing offense in the league a season ago, Lisi, and so far through two games, they have certainly lived up to that billing as well.
Yeah, now if the defense could take the next step, they're going to be a tough out. I mean, I always said that when they got these playmakers, especially in the draft, and they solidified the secondary in terms of the trade, right? They are going to get to a certain point. They could get to a wild card, maybe the second round, but are they built to go to potentially the championship game? After last night's performance, I believe they are. If they can run the football with Hurts, Miles Sanders, they could sustain drives, force turnovers, and that secondary led by Darius Slay plays like that, they're going to be there every step of the way. So that's the biggest thing. You know, Jalen Hurts doesn't have to do it all. He has other playmakers there. There are elite talent on the perimeter. Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and you have a solid tight end in Dallas Goedert. I mean, that is unbelievable when you just think about the big three and Miles Sanders coming out of the backfield as well. So they are built right now to potentially challenge some of the better teams. I think if they play Green Bay, they would give him a game. I think if they played L.A. in terms of the Rams, as long as Hurts plays within the scheme and doesn't turn the football over, they're going to be there. So we have to see if they can keep the consistency from week to week and Jalen Hurts progresses a little bit more in the passing game. If that happens, they're headed in the right direction in Philly.
The Eagles tied for the second best price to win the NFC right now, alongside the Packers, both at 5-1. The Bucs still the favorites at +310. The Vikings move back slightly, not only in the NFC North market, but in the NFC Championship market as well. Kirk Cousins, when the lights are at their brightest, primetime does not favor Captain Kirk. He is now 2-10 straight up all time on Monday Night Football, a disappointing game where he threw three interceptions, two of them picked off by Darius Slay. We'll continue looking around the National Football League, take an early look at the Week 3 lines up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on FFC. The great thing about football this time of year is that you very hardly have to go without it. And what I mean by that is only 2 days off from the NFL schedule each and every week. Games on Sunday, games on Monday night, of course, 2 days off, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then back on Thursday as we get going for week number three of the National Football League season. And Joe Lisi, let's begin with the Thursday night football game for week three. It's a old AFC North rivalry. No love lost between these two teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Right now, Joe, in Cleveland, the Browns booked as a 5.5-point favorite, but what catches my eye more than anything is that over-under set at 38.5. It is a surprisingly low number, but maybe not all that surprising, seeing as we've seen the Pittsburgh Steelers offense struggle mightily here out the gates.
Yeah, I mean, that game against New England, they struggled for about three quarters before they got some points on the board. And I was impressed in regards to the offensive line for New England and being able to wear down the front seven of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh played lights out week one against Joe Burrow with the seven sacks. They did not look good, in my opinion, in run support in the second half. And that would tend to lean to the favor of Cleveland in this ballgame, lay in the 5.5-point number at home, just because we knew of the weakness of Pittsburgh last year. They gave up 5 yards per carry. We said that, at least I said that, you know, we talked about it. If that reared its head this year, they weren't going to get over the 7.5 win total, right? If they can't get off the field on third downs and teams can run at will on Cam Hayward in that front seven, going to be very difficult for that offense to play from behind. So I think that's the matchup that we look at on Thursday night. Nick Chubb with 3 touchdowns. Granted, he didn't go down. He scored and maybe, you know, potentially added to that loss last week. I think he's going to be motivated. I think the front seven of Cleveland is just a tad bit better than Pittsburgh right now. And I think Cleveland does win a very close ball game, but covers this number on Thursday night.
It's a great point, Joe. The Pittsburgh Steelers last year, the worst rushing defense in all of the National Football League, and we know what Cleveland wants to do. They were tied with the Eagles, Joe, for the most amount of run plays in week number one. 39 attempts on the ground in week one, showing to us, Lisi, that the Cleveland Browns, more than anything, with Jacoby Brissett under center, are going to try to take the ball out of his hands and focus on the bright spot of their offense, which is that dual-headed monster of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Both looked really good on the ground at times against the New York Jets this past Sunday. And I don't blame Nick Chubb. It was a single-score game. If he goes down, yes, you can really run things out, but he's thinking to himself, I'm putting my team up by two touchdowns under 2 minutes left. So we'll see exactly how that looks. But Cleveland still ran the ball 37 times week number two. They are averaging 38 rushes per game, Joe. That's second most in the league, only behind now San Francisco, who ran it 45 times in that week two victory over the Seattle Seahawks. So I agree. I think that is the advantage for the Cleveland Browns come Thursday on a short week to focus on the ground game can be a benefit. It'll be interesting, Joe, to see what happens with this Steelers team moving forward. An unlikely upset, week number one on the road in Cincinnati, taking that divisional game. But very disappointing offensively, week number two against the Pats that has already led to some in Steel clamoring for Kenny Pickett to become the quarterback. It's not going to happen this week, certainly. But that total, Joe, of 38.5, if Pittsburgh adds us to an under there, and the first two Thursday night games have gone under so far this year, then I think there will be more calls for changes offensively for Pittsburgh.
Oh, absolutely, right? We said it's a very short lease for Mitch Trubisky in the sense of you give him the first month of the season. If they fall and they're way under 500, 1-3, then you could go to the rookie, right, to save the season or potentially build on 2023 where he builds big game experience. That's what it's all about. That's why you took Kenny Pickett in terms of this year's upcoming draft, right? That's the main reason, to see if Trubisky could get you over the hump to challenge for a wild card or maybe an outside chance at a division title. If that's just gone within the first month of the season, or the, like we said, you know, if at the end of September, if they're 1-3, 1-4 heading into the second week of October, you can then roll the dice with Kenny Pickett and say, go ahead, kid, here's the keys to the offense and see if you could save the season. If you do, great. If not, at least we have a step on 2023 where we're going to be a contender again because we have a young gunslinger that could challenge Joe Burrow and Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson in the conference.
And that will be the case for what Pittsburgh will have moving forward. We see how it plays out on Thursday night. Lisi, as we look at quarterback matchups in week number three, of course, our eye needs to go to the battle of number 12s. Tampa Bay, Green Bay on Sunday in Tampa. The Bucs right now a 2.5-point favorite, Joe. Aaron Rodgers on one side for the Packers against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Now, here is what is fascinating to me, Joe, about this game. If I would have told you last year, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, because of how long both of these quarterbacks have played in the National Football League, that we had Aaron Rodgers on one side leading an offense against Tom Brady on the other, you would have probably guessed the total was at least 48.5, probably approaching 50. This week's number, Joe, is 41 and a hook between the Bucs and the Packers. I think because the defenses kind of lead the way for both of these teams to start off 2022.
Yeah, and not only that, they're run-heavy. They're more balanced in terms of Leonard Fournette and then Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, the way they took over that game last week against Chicago, right? Aaron Jones over 100 yards. A.J. Dillon, the tough yards between the tackles to move the chains and keep them into short, at least manageable third-down situations. And the non-elite wide receivers, right? Young core out there in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers still not acclimated and confident with those young wide receivers. That's a main cause of concern. And Mike Evans now with the one game suspension. What does this look like? But when you look at this matchup as a whole, it comes down to obviously, yeah, do you believe in Aaron Rodgers or do you believe in the rushing attack, obviously, of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon traveling on the road? I think it does carry well the ability to run the football, but this isn't Chicago's front seven. This is Tampa Bay's. They're a step above where Chicago is. So that's going to be the matchup. I think Tampa Bay puts Aaron Rodgers into long third downs. I don't think they give up chunk yards in the ground, and I have to go with Tampa Bay right now. I think they're playing cleaner, even though it's not pretty. They're getting it done on the defensive side of the ball, and to me, that's what carries weight. Give me Tampa Bay in a close game, but I feel like they win this one 7 to 10 points.
Lisa, you're bringing up fantastic points right now about why these games are breaking down the way they are. Tampa Bay right now has run the ball on 49.6% of its plays so far this year. That's seventh most in terms of rushing play percentage in the National Football League. Last year, they only ran it 33.5% of their plays, throwing it more than 66% of the time. They had the highest passing play percentage in the National Football League. Is this going to be the case all year? Not entirely sure, but that's where things are right now. I also look at that Tampa Bay offensive line, Lisi, very banged up, was banged up coming into this year against a very good Packers front seven as well. And Green Bay is running the football 44.1% of the time. They ran it, Lisi, against the Bears last week on 58% of their plays. And that Tampa Bay defense, like you alluded to, Joe, very good. The Bucs have allowed one touchdown and also scored one touchdown defensively so far this season. So 41.5 is a different total than I think we often expect for Aaron Rodgers taking on Tom Brady, but that's the number we have as of right now. Lisi, as we look across the Week 3 slate in the National Football League, a lot of our attention will go to Sunday Night Football in the Mile High City, the Broncos and the Niners. San Francisco, a one-point road favorite against Denver. Interesting to see San Francisco as the road favorite in this case. I think it's twofold here, Lisi. I think some people are rightfully questioning the Denver Broncos. Nathaniel Hackett saying after the game on Sunday, asked why he was booed from the fans, saying he doesn't blame them. He has struggled as a head coach so far, both offensively, trying to be this OC mastermind that came over from Green Bay alongside Aaron Rodgers, and simply managing a football game and making the proper decisions. But it's also a reflection of Jimmy Garoppolo for this Niners team. We talked about this idea yesterday, Lisi, and how fascinating it is. If you are going to lose your starting quarterback, your odds are going to change. That is how the NFL would work, and they're often going to change rather substantially. The Niners' odds remain the same, Joe. In fact, their odds from the end of week one to the end of week two to win the division in the NFC West got slightly better at +165. Their win total was 9.5, and the over had the juice before the year. Their win total is still 9.5, and the over still has the juice, and they're booked as a one-point favorite on the road against the Denver Broncos team, Joe, that still have some expectation of at least being a playoff contender. So no, Jimmy G doesn't elevate this team necessarily, but he certainly doesn't make it much worse.
No, what you see is what you get. The consistency is there. Love it or hate it, you know what you have in terms of Jimmy Garoppolo from a productivity standpoint, but more importantly, a leadership standpoint. We talked about how the team rallied around him last week and how they bought in. They were cheering. They were high-fiving. So I think this is a great recipe for San Francisco moving forward, long-term, obviously. Now in this game against Denver, you have to go with the more consistent team. I can't back Denver right now in any capacity because I have. And secondly, because I talked about it all offseason, I wasn't buying in to Russell Wilson in terms of, I'll buy into Russell Wilson when he breaks contain and utilizes his legs. Give me that Russell Wilson as opposed to the Russell Wilson in the pocket. I'm taking San Fran.
I would agree, Joe. It's a one-point spread only. Yes, home field advantage means something, but the Broncos were losing in the fourth quarter as a 9.5-point, 10-point favorite against the Houston Texans this past Sunday. Are they going to figure it out against a much better team in San Francisco? Who's to say? We'll continue our conversation here on Football Full Circle, but we flip it to the college game up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on Football Full Circle. We flip our attention to the college game. From the NFL to CFP, week number three of the NFL on the horizon on Sunday. Really starts on Thursday. The same can be said Thursday night football in the college game for week number four of CFP. But, Lisey, what a Saturday slate we have ahead in college football. A good portion of the country, Joe, getting underway in conference action. We've seen some sprinkling of conference games throughout, but this is a full-blown conference slate. SEC versus SEC, Big Ten versus Big Ten matchups, Big 12, Pac-12, and ACC versus ACC. Lisey, let us start there. In the Atlantic Coast Conference, within the Atlantic Division, huge ramifications about to be in store the next 2 weeks. Starting this Saturday in Winston-Salem between Wake Forest and Clemson. A top 25 matchup, Joe, and one of only four unbeaten versus unbeaten sides. Number five, Clemson, comes in a perfect 3-0, visiting Wake Forest, number 21 in the country, and a perfect 3-0 as well. Lisey, the Tigers, a 7.5-point favorite in Winston-Salem against the Demon Deeks and Sam Hartman on Saturday. How do you start to preview that matchup?
Well, if you looked at last year, that's when Wake Forest was coming off the loss to North Carolina. They go into Death Valley, and Will Shipley in the front, the offensive line of Clemson, abused Wake Forest at the point of attack. Clemson ran to a double-digit win and a cover in that ballgame. They didn't even have a shot, Sam Hartman, and the offense for Wake to keep up. That's going to be the recipe heading into this matchup, especially with Clemson on the road and coming to Winston-Salem, because if you watch the ballgame last week with Liberty, they jump out to a big first-half lead as a 17.5-point favorite. They trail late in the third quarter, have to come from behind and stop a go for the two type of situation for Liberty and Caden Salter to just solidify that victory. Were they looking ahead, or is that where Wake Forest is from a defensive perspective? Only time will tell, but I think the line, I will say, is fishy. 8.5 down to 7 now for the Clemson Tigers. I still lean to Clemson because of the physicality of the offensive and defensive lines, but I will say this, DJU is going to need to make some plays in the passing game for Clemson to not only win, but cover this number.
Dabo Swinney has never lost to Wake Forest at the helm of this Clemson football program. That's nearly 15 years of football games between Clemson and Wake. Lisey, it's a huge weekend in the Atlantic because it starts a huge two-week stretch. Right now, Clemson is the odds-on favorite, pretty substantially favored as so, to win the ACC, minus 165. NC State, who Clemson hosts next weekend, the early look-ahead line in the summer for that game was 10 points in favor of the Tigers. They are the fourth best price at 10-1, and there's Wake Forest at 25-1 alongside Florida State as well. FSU, off the Seminoles' first 3-0 start since 2015, they play Wake next weekend. So those four top contenders, Joe, in the Atlantic will all play each other over the span of these next 2 weeks. Now, let me ask you about where you evaluate Clemson at the moment. Fifth ranked in the country, the defense has been sensational, as we all expected, for the early parts of this 2022 season, Joe. But the same offensive inconsistencies of DJ Uiagalelei and some of the issues Clemson had offensively last year have reared their ugly head so far in 2022. So Clemson is minus 165, Joe, to win the conference. Clemson is plus 170 to make the college football playoff, the fourth best price, and 11-1 to win the national championship, also the fourth best number. So, Joe, after what you have seen from Clemson here through the first 3 weeks of this year, how do you evaluate the Tigers?
I think they could be hitting stride, and the reason why I say that is because they struggled to run the football week one against Georgia Tech in the first half, right? And they looked inconsistent, were put into predictable third downs, and then they started to get it going. The defense helped them out, gave them short fields. They were able to run the football. Now they're up around 182 rushing yards per game. Why is that important? Because the last couple of years with Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott before he left, right? The last 2 years, Clemson was only averaging about 100. 165 yards on the ground. Compared to like 2019, they were up at 240. So they're starting to have more balance now, running the football consistently, closer to 200 yards, which means shorter third downs, which means a better conversion rate. Now they're converting 46% on third down conversions. Compared to last year, they were 35%. So that carries weight on the road, and that's why I still favor Clemson here in this matchup. Not going to be easy because you have a prolific quarterback in Sam Hartman that wants to push tempo, jump up early, and force DJU to play from behind, right? That's going to be the recipe. You got to go with the physicality, in my opinion, in terms of the offensive defensive lines, coupled with the fact that we still know over the last 7 or 8 years, Clemson straight up 65-6 against ACC opponents straight up. I can't buck that trend. And even though they play better at home than they do on the road the last couple of years, it's still Wake Forest, and that defense, the front seven, concerns me going up against the rushing attack of Clemson.
Lisa, you were all over this game last week on College Football Today throughout the week here on Football Full Circle. Liberty being able to hang with Wake last weekend, 37-36, the final between those two. Sam Hartman struggled, went over his passing yards, prop of 312 and a hook with 325, but just 26 of 44, Joe, in two interceptions. Did throw for three touchdowns, but two interceptions as Wake narrowly stays unbeaten, beating Liberty by a point, but not covering as a 12.5 point favorite. 17.5, I actually think the line was, right, Joe? 17.5 in favor of Wake against Liberty?
Yeah, by game time.
They did not even get close to covering that number. So it's something to keep in mind. Clemson deserves to be a more than touchdown favorite, even on the road in Winston-Salem. But it is a huge game, noon Eastern time on Saturday. Joe, an ACC team that is also unbeaten will play in another unbeaten versus unbeaten matchup. It's my favorite game of the weekend. Duke in Kansas, in Lawrence. Yes, you heard me correctly. Not a basketball matchup come November or maybe even March. Duke in Kansas. Two perfect 3-0 teams, Lisi, facing off against one another. The Jayhawks, a 7.5 point home favorite.
I got to go with Lance Leipold and Kansas. As much as Duke has played well under Mike Elko and their quarterback, Riley Leonard, I have to go with Kansas, the most prolific offense in all of college football. Can I say that? That the Kansas Jayhawks have the most prolific offense in all of 131 college football teams? Who would have thought Lance Leipold takes the rushing attack from Buffalo, where he led them to a MAC championship appearance, And they're playing lights out. I cannot believe it. This game, again, is going to come down to the interior. The weakness of Duke, to me, still up until this point, is in run support. I think Kansas laying a big number. I think they abuse them. The fact that the game is in Lawrence, that carries some weight. We saw the turn last year when Kansas went toe-to-toe with Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley. They had Oklahoma on the ropes as basically a 31.5 point favorite. From that point on, the rest of the regular season, they played lights out. It hasn't stopped. Give me Kansas in a big – I think they blow out Duke this coming Saturday.
Listen, Lisi, they are the third best scoring offense in all of college football, averaging 53 points per game. They put up 48 against Houston. Now, I don't think the Cougs are what we expected out of a preseason top 25 team. I don't think Houston's defense is anywhere close to the top 10 unit they had a season ago, because KU, Joe, put up 48 points against Houston this past Saturday. Their third straight game, all three have hit the over for one of the best offensive teams in all of college football, and Jalen Daniels combining for 5 total touchdowns, the quarterback for the Jayhawks. Lance Leipold, Lisi, is one of the best coaches in all of the sport, certainly one of the best program builders in all of college football, and we have seen that on display so far for the Jayhawks. It feels weird to say, Joe, that Kansas might be a step up in competition from what Duke has seen, and they've played Northwestern. I still think That is where Kansas is. But Duke has an opportunity, Joe, to go over their win total. I think it was 3 or 3.5 before the year. I know KU's was 2.5, and they are already over that number, as is Vanderbilt. What Lisi and I tried to tell you all summer long here on Football Full Circle. So that's a great unbeaten matchup, Joe, but not a conference game. Here's an interesting conference game for you. Fourth-ranked Michigan in the country, a perfect 3-0 against Maryland, a perfect 3-0. The Big Ten opener for both of these squads in Ann Arbor, Joe, inside the Big House on Saturday afternoon. Michigan, a 16.5-point favorite. Now, I say it like that, Joe, because Michigan yesterday was favored by 17 points. The hook has come off. How do you break down this game?
Do you know Michigan has won 6 straight over Maryland by 33.8 points per game? I cannot back Maryland. I know Mike Locksley is great. He's a great recruiter. How many times have we been in this spot with Maryland? How many times? Last year it was Iowa. Yeah, they were catching 5.5 points. I turned on the game. It's 51-7. No, I cannot.
Iowa put up 51 points against them. Think about that, Joe.
I can't. It was 59-14 last year in College Park. Blake Corum was running all over the yard. I mean, McNamara had a game. J.J. McCarthy got involved last year. As good as Maryland is, they fold against more physical offensive defensive lines. And we know Jim Harbaugh is going to look to run on that front seven. And you know what? History, we always talk about the trend. The trend is in Michigan's favor. They've won 6 straight by 30, almost 34 points per game. Now they're laying 16.5. I'm not going to bet this game on Saturday, but if you're asking me to choose, I can only go Michigan.
It has to be Michigan. I think Michigan's going to storm against these Terrapins. Joe, here's the stats that I was talking to you about throughout the break that I found out about Maryland. Because Maryland does this every year. In the 3-plus years under Mike Locksley as their head coach in non-conference play, Maryland is 9-1 straight up with an average margin of victory, Joe, of 31.5 points per game. Only Georgia and Alabama have a better margin of victory in that 3-plus year span since the 2019 season than Maryland. Think about that. 31.5 points per game is their average margin of victory in non-conference play. Only Alabama and Georgia are better than the Terps in that metric. And against the spread, Joe, Maryland is 8-2 in non-conference play, covering by an average margin of more than 16 points per game. It is the best cover margin in all of non-conference action in the last 3-plus years. But in Big Ten games under Mike Locksley, Maryland is both 6-17 straight up and against the spread. That cover margin is 26.1%. It is the fourth worst in conference games in that span. And they're not covering by an average margin of nearly 9 points per game. So yes, Lisi, the right side is Michigan, who went through a cupcake non-conference schedule. Now we get to see just how good the Michigan Wolverines are, Joe, because I think they can cover that 17-point spread. And if they do, my thoughts on where Michigan is will start to change a little bit once we see them in Big Ten competition. By the way, Blake Corum in the final non-conference game against UConn this past weekend for Michigan had 12 carries, and 5 of them went for a touchdown. Yeah, he's still pretty good. And that offensive line for Michigan is one of the best, if not the best, in all of college football. A few more college football thoughts as we round out the show on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, Joe Lisi, just a couple more minutes left right here on Football Full Circle for the day on the Sports Grid Radio Network. We'll be back throughout the rest of this week. Lisi, as you look around the country, some of the best college football games that we are going to see on the Saturday slate, what are a few more that we haven't discussed just yet that catch your eye?
Well, what about that matchup in Dallas? Texas A&M, a 2.5-point favorite over K.J. Jefferson in Arkansas. Oof. What a battle. Max Johnson, K.J. Jefferson, Arkansas, the worst pass defense in FBS. Can they pull it out to win back-to-back against the Aggies? That's one. And I'll tell you what, how about the Friday night game? It's an under-the-radar game, but Brennan Armstrong coming into Syracuse. Your Syracuse Orange that are now 3-0, battling with Schrader. They got a come-from-behind win over Purdue. Can they cover the 10-point number over the Cavs? I'm not so sure. Dino Babers 4-15 still in the last 2.5 years against ACC opponents. We'll see how it plays out.
A Friday night, Joe, in the Carrier now JMA Wireless Dome is a very tough place to play. Just ask the Clemson Tigers if you would not mind. I think Syracuse wins that game and covers the number even, Lisi, because UVA has dropped off so significantly offensively from a season ago, barely beating Old Dominion 16-14 this past week as we were going for the loot on Saturday afternoon. Lisi, that game between Arkansas and A&M is going to be outstanding. Arkansas, the worst pass defense in the country, sure, but what exactly are we going to see out of this A&M offense that now ranks last in the SEC in points per game so far after scoring 17 only against Miami on Saturday? Yes, a big victory over the Canes, but not necessarily the offensive showing we thought we might see in Max Johnson's debut as the quarterback in College Station. Joe Lisi, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll do this a couple more times this week, huh?
Can't wait, baby. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do here on Football Full Circle. You know what the rules of the house say on FFC on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Up next, though, it's the Money Line right here on Sports Grid Radio.